We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
And keep it locked in right now. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. The power has been out in the studio, so we're trying our best to just get on the air here, get things rolling. Blake right now is running all over the studio to make sure that things are up and running and all smooth so that we can continue the remaining 2 hours and 40 minutes of our show tonight. We'll have a couple of special guests in studio. We'll be talking Chiefs with a couple of guys who we'll introduce later on who host the Chiefs watch party. And we'll tell you exactly where that is, how you can get there, and join a lot of other Chiefs fans that will be in attendance for this Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll also have Joel Penfield in studio at 9 p.m. talking some Royals baseball and what he may expect and what we all should expect for the Royals heading into the offseason, what moves they may make with the coaching staff, the scouting department, minor league coaching staff, and maybe offseason acquisitions moving into these fall and winter months before the Royals ramp it back up in spring training. Oh, let's say, what is it now, 4 or 5 months? A lot of us, if you've been paying attention to the Royals, are already looking into February and March. Now, if you're a baseball person, in these September months when you have 90-plus losses, just aren't as fun as they used to be. But to open up the show tonight, and we're going to do our best here, and hopefully that you can give us some leeway here. Give us a buffer because we're doing our best to work with what we got. As I mentioned, Blake right now is doing a great job running around the studio, just making sure everything is in place, trying to fix everything because the power was completely out here in the studio. No lights were on. Nothing was running. And if you've listened to us before, we're on at 7 p.m. Now, it's not too late. We originally thought we'd be on around 8:30, therefore pushing back a couple of our guests and cramming 3 hours of radio into about an hour and a half. But fortunately, we had a team here working tirelessly to get us back up and running, and within 10, 15 minutes, the power was back on. Now, with radio, what has to happen here is you can get the power back on, but then it's about another 20, 25 minutes of hooking everything back up. You know, making sure the buttons work, getting the audio to work, getting the computers to work. And so if you've listened to us before, we have intros, we got music, everything flows smoothly. And that's a large credit to Blake Schneiders on the board. He makes sure it's a well-oiled machine. He's running the phone lines, he's running the audio, he's doing the commercials. But in this circumstance, it's just about getting up and running. And that's what we're having to do right now. I am currently talking to a blank space here. And we keep the door closed usually, so no outside sound is coming in, but we had to get up and running. So kind of piecing it together here on the night shift, as we still have a jam-packed show for you, and we're very fortunate that we can even be on air just 20 minutes late, because probably 45 minutes ago we were expecting to have only an hour and a half to an hour-long show. But we promise we're going to do our best to get you through everything. So what has happened in the time since we were last on air last week? Only one show a week, so you got to usually cram in everything that's happened in the last 4 or 5 days. And it would be great. It would be the ideal situation to have the show on Monday or Tuesday, especially during the NFL season, because you're recapping exactly what happened the day before. And boy, oh boy, was it quite a game on Sunday between the Colts and the Chiefs. It was one of the uglier performances we've seen in the Patrick Mahomes era. Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid. The offense stagnated. The special teams looked like a JV squad for the majority of that game. The defense played their ass off. I don't think anybody's going to complain about the defense. But when it mattered most, when the game was on the line, the defense couldn't get that final stop. Now, you could argue here, they did get that final stop. They got off the field. They sacked Matt Ryan on third down. But a taunting penalty by Sean Smith, who threw the flag on Chris Jones, for, quote, disturbing language that, quote, doesn't belong in professional football. Extended a drive, gave the Colts a chance, and they took that chance and scored with less than 20 seconds or, I believe, 30 seconds to go. And that's something that bites you in the ass later on down the road. Those plays magnify and they amplify things that happen in the fourth quarter when you make penalties like that, when you have those mental lapses on the field. Now, we could get in and we could spend 20, 30 minutes on that penalty and why it should or shouldn't be called. I feel a lot of people in Kansas City thought it was a soft penalty, and I'm with you. I think it's a soft penalty. I really do. I think that there is a place for taunting in this game. It's what makes us human. This is a very physical and violent sport. Words do not hurt these players on the field. It only seems to hurt the officials. And they feel like it needs to be cracked down on more than anything else. And I'd say even more so than college. I see more taunting and unsportsmanlike penalties in the NFL than I do in college. But guess what? That happens at every level. High school, college, the NFL. And in the case of the Colts and the Chiefs, this play was one that cost the Chiefs the game. Special teams, of course, cost them the game. Well, there's a couple of offensive lapses that cost them the game, but that penalty, it proves to be the fatal blow in the Chiefs' 20-17 loss to Indianapolis. I think it's fine to be upset about this game. I think it's fine to overreact a little bit. I also have seen people take the reasonable route. I've seen people look at the outcome of this game and go, hey, we're still fine here. We still have the best quarterback in football. The defense is playing great. It's a bad game, and those are all true, right? I think that most people understand the Chiefs will be fine. Now, what I think is totally okay to say here is, well, that's a bad game that's not excusable here. And that's where I sort of differ. I can play both sides here. And I try to do that a lot here on the show because I want to see both sides of where the arguments are coming from. And Chiefs Twitter, we all know this, blows things out of proportion after losses because when you are used to success, you're not used to losing anymore. And it's been a while since Chiefs fans have been numb to losing. You just expect to win every single Sunday, regardless of opponent. On the other hand here, it's all right to show frustration. It's all right to point out flaws with this team because I think you can also make a case that it's not all sunshine and rainbows right now. The running game is not very good. The offensive line play is not very good. Now, the defense has been playing better. They're banged up right now. And I think we saw on Sunday that life after Tyreek Hill is going to show itself a little bit from time to time. Not saying the Chiefs can't be better without Tyreek Hill, but there's going to be games this year where you could have leaned on Tyreek Hill in a moment of desperation. Right, the last drive of the game, though the Chiefs were never going to be able to tie that game because Matt Amendola can't even make an extra point. You don't have Harrison Butker out there to boot a 56, 57 yarder. On that final drive, Tyreek Hill could have been utilized a lot. He's no longer here. So you're forced to simple it down a little bit and try to move the ball with MVS, Juju, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, and Travis Kelce. So those are going to happen this year. They're going to happen a couple of times this year because the Chiefs are not going to go 16-1. They're not going to go 15-2. They're still going to be a good team. They're going to be a playoff team. I just want to see, number one, a not a huge overreaction. Sometimes the Chiefs Twitter, you will see people blow things out of proportion, say this team sucks, they're not going to have a winning record, this is the downhill of Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and that's going over the top here. But it's also very, very fair to criticize what we've seen through three games. The offense has not been perfect. It's not been great. Patrick Mahomes has not been flawless. That's okay to admit here. The offensive line has not been anywhere near our expectation level. Right, Orlando Brown Jr. tripped on the turf on Sunday against the Colts. he was clearly a liability in that game, and he wants to be the highest paid left tackle in football. This offensive line will have to get better. The wide receiver room. Right now, I've seen something from Juju, who's on pace for 1,000 yards or over 1,000 yards. I've seen a little bit from MVS. I have not heard Mecole Hardman's name more than three times in a single game this year. Sky Moore has, what, one catch? He's done more damage in a negative light on special teams than he's done positive in the receiving game. Those are all fair things to point out right now because that's what we've seen on the field. It's fine to sit here and say, playoff team, going to be good. Going to hit their stride at some point this season. It's also very fair to say they are not where they want to be right now. And it is not something where you can just sit back and go, oh, it's fine, it's fine. It's fine. Nothing's wrong here. No, things are wrong. They will have to be corrected. And one more thing I'll add on to of what's been a problem through three games, the play calling. The play calling has been very suspect through three games. Decision making. The Chiefs have struggled inside the red zone, deciding to kick when maybe they should have gone for it, deciding to wave the white flag before the end of the half when you have the best quarterback in football on your team, trying a fake field goal on 4th and 10 against the Chargers, not putting the ball in your best player's hands. 4th and 1, 4th and inches, it's just a halfback dive up the middle. Those are decisions I question. And they're fair to question. And if you're a fan questioning all that, you have every right to. You can show emotion. I think that's always, Blake, where we get to at this point where there's the one side that's just all positive, everything's fine. Because you can lean on the fact of this team's going to be good. However, there's also the negative side where this team's going to suck. They're going to win 6 games. They're going to win 7 games. Well, that's just not true. I don't see a Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes ever just winning 6 games. They will hit their stride. They'll be fine. I think with new weapons, it's about getting used to those weapons. We saw last year the offensive line. It took a while to settle in. There were some bad games with the offensive line. And let us not forget, this Chiefs team started 3-4 last year. Here's where you can go with that. That Chiefs team had a worse start than this team, and things turned out okay. You can use that side. On the other hand, you could point out and go, that's 3-4. I don't want to get to 3-4 again. I don't want to have a slow start. There's no need why this team should be a slow starting team. They're still talented. They've got the coaching staff. They've got the weapons. They've got one of the better defenses, I believe, right now, and they're not even full strength, that Patrick Mahomes has had since being quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Blake, is it all right to throw it to you here now? As long as we're up and running, you have everything all handled.
I do have, as you've seen, my hair is already red, so it's been on fire since I've been born, but it's been on fire the last minute trying to get all three stations back on the air. But,
Blake, it's with one of these things here, and again, we're still troubleshooting this a little bit because the audio might be a little bit delayed, at least in my headset, because of being down a little bit. And I think this is better now. Now I feel good.
Man,
now I feel
good.
It's tough to read lips when I'm hearing stuff you just said 5 seconds behind.
I heard the delay in your headphone as I'm talking to you. I'm like, what is that extra noise?
That
thought your phone was on.
No, we're all good now. My question to you, though, Blake, is where you fall on this, right? Chiefs are 2-1. I think they're an ugly 2-1 right now. I think of their two wins, Arizona was the best. The Chargers, I think they were fortunate to get out of that game with a win because of a pick six. Keenan Allen didn't play for the Chargers. The Chargers were banged up. And then you have the stinker against the Colts. So where do you stand on these first three games between maybe the line of this team is actually not very good to everything's all fine here in Chiefs Kingdom, they're going to be good? Or are you kind of in the middle where you go, where I am, I'm in the middle saying, this team's going to be fine. It is absolutely okay, though, to point out flaws and be angry with certain aspects of this team.
I am actually, believe it or not, on the side of this team's A-okay. And the reason I say that is because all offseason, the whole talk of the town was, Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill. Chiefs lose Cheetah. How will offense recoup? How will offense come around? Okay, so everybody figured, okay, you're going to get a bunch of new guys in here. Yeah, Mecole is now the only veteran that you have and the longest tenured chief you have on that receiving core. You still have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You still got Jerick McKinnon. You're bringing in new guys. You drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the running back room. We knew the running game was probably going to stay around the exact same it had been. We were just hoping more for Clyde. I'll say I'm already higher on Clyde, what I've seen this year, than I had the last 2 years from the first two games he's played. Somehow, the offensive line, I really do think, okay, let me go back. Running back room looks great. Receiving room, we said it's going to take time for these brand new guys to mesh. You got MVS, you've got Juju, you've got Sky Moore, you've brought in all these new guys to try to play with Patrick Mahomes. And the first three games, when Patrick Mahomes hardly played throughout the preseason, the first three games, you're a little worried because it doesn't quite look like the chemistry that the, you know, 5-year vet of Tyreek Hill in the, what is it, his eighth year now, ninth year? What is Travis in at this point?
Travis's first year was 2013.
Yeah, so, and
Tyreek Hill, I believe, is
so
2016.
This is Travis' ninth or tenth year in the league. And, you know, he loses the guys that he's worked with his entire career, and you bring in fresh new guys and expect to see fireworks right off the bat. And then you say that all offseason, and then when they finally get to the regular season, you know, Chiefs fans are getting pissed the first three games when it doesn't quite look like it's meshing the way it could, even though they've got two wins out of three games. In my opinion, we're seeing exactly what everybody talked about in the offseason. It's going to take time. This is not an easy offense. You have, you know, five, six, seven new guys on the offensive side that have to mesh well with Patrick Mahomes. Other than Mecole, he's got a bunch of brand new guys. Okay, so you go out and you play a Arizona team that's not very good. Somehow they squeaked out a win against the Raiders, who they might not be very good. We really don't know right now. Okay, then you go into a tough-fought Thursday night, 4-day turnaround against the Chargers. Guess what? You pulled out a gritty, dirty win on primetime football on a short week with brand new guys. That's a huge win for me. Because those guys on the Chargers team, besides bringing in Khalil Mack, all those guys have been tenured vets with the Chargers. They are seasoned. They know the playbook. They've been there 3+ years. There should have been no miscommunication. The only thing they didn't really have was Keenan Allen. Okay. Other than that, Mike Williams had a freaking day against the Chiefs. The defense for the Chargers looked good. The Chiefs had brand new looking offense and brand new looking defense. If we're really being honest, you got brand new corner. You got two brand new, or you know, brand new safety and a safety coming off a kind of a down year. Got a couple new linebackers, a new D end in Carlos Dunlap. Looked great. That was a dirty, hard-fought, grimy win. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, that wasn't that impressive. To me, that's impressive that you beat a Chargers team that had been playing together kind of like a mid-2000s Patriots team, where they've been playing together for like 4 years now. They all know the chemistry. You're creating chemistry each and every week with the Chiefs right now, and they came in and won. Okay, then you go into Indianapolis with your brand new squad. You've got two wins under your belt. Haven't really been, you know, you were challenged really hard in the Chargers game, but you haven't been challenged in other certain ways. And you fall into a Colts team who had lost the first two games pretty miserably, and they were already in Indianapolis calling for coaching changes, calling for firings of Matt Ryan. Like, it was bad. Okay, well, you have to win two of the three aspects of the game. You either have to win offense and special teams, offense and defense, defense and special teams, or defense and offense. So you lost two of those. The offense finally had some severe struggles across the board. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 7 carries for 0 yards, did squeak out a touchdown, so good for him. Still somehow helped his fantasy owners out. Didn't look good. The offensive line, that was the worst game that they've played in the last 2 years that they've been together.
It was up there.
It was definitely up there.
I saw an offensive lineman. I saw your left tackle trip on error.
Well, he tripped over Noah Gray for sure.
I think he tripped on turf.
Really?
I thought
he had just overstepped and didn't realize, should have known that Noah Gray, you have a guy next to you, why are you stepping out so wide? That's why I thought he tripped, but maybe not. Maybe he just caught the turf monster.
I'll double check for you, but I think the turf monster grabbed his heel.
Turf monster might have got him, and you know what? When you want to be the highest paid left tackle in the league, you better not be tripping on the turf monster. That can't be a thing. Okay, then you have a special teams. Yes, you are down the best kicker in the league, in my opinion. Justin Tucker's good. I think Butker is top two. It's either him or Tucker for the best kickers in the league, hands down. Dave Tobe, who I haven't seen have a bad game in I don't know how long, And it wasn't even Tobe. It was the execution of Tobe's special teams. They just didn't show up. Sky Moore started the game off rough, giving the Indianapolis Colts 7 points right off of a muffed punt. That's unfortunate. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, take Sky Moore out of there. Sky Moore is still a rookie. He is 22 years old, 21, 22 years old. He's a rookie in this league. Should he have caught it? Yes. I understand. Okay, new stadium. Maybe you can give all the different, give all the excuses you want to Sky Moore. He just looked bad. The entire special teams looked bad. Amendola missing 2 kicks looked bad. Cost you 5 points. Sky Moore fumbling a punt cost you another 7 points. Didn't look good across the board. Then the offense isn't playing. The one thing that people should take away from that Indianapolis game, and honestly, I'm not worried about the Colts. Nobody should be worried about the Colts. This wasn't a divisional loss. This was a AFC South loss, which apparently has had the Chiefs number for the last 5 years. Talk about the Colts, the Titans. I mean, luckily they didn't lose to the Jags at some point over this past five-year span. But you look at that, they're not a threat. I'm not worried about the game that they just lost. I don't think most Chiefs fans should be worried about that game because guess what? The brightest spot on Sunday was the Chiefs' defense. Absolutely ate. I don't care what the final score was. I don't care what Chris Jones said. I don't care what that last drive is unfortunate. Yes, that's the only drive they gave up essentially all game. The Chiefs' defense, to me, looked awesome. 5 sacks. Let's see. Let's just look over the defensive stats here because from what I saw, they looked, in my opinion, so impressive. You have Darius Harris, who was a replacement who came in, ended up having 6 tackles. Nick Bolton had 2 sacks, 6 tackles, bench-pressed Jonathan Taylor off a 4th down to hold him. Jonathan Taylor, mind you, the best running back in the league, absolutely met him over a Spartan dive over the top of his offensive line on 4th and 1 and bench-pressed this man, who is a mountain of a man, an absolute killer, who's running the ball with thighs the size of Mack trucks, bench-pressed him with all Nick Bolton's strength behind the line to stop them on 4th down. That was awesome, okay? Jalen Watson, probably one of the steals of the draft if you look what he's done the past 2 weeks. Oh, and he had 6 tackles on top of his pass deflections. You had Rashad Fenton who looked good. Justin Reed looked good. Carlos Dunlap looked fantastic. Frank Clark got himself a sack. The Chiefs' defense, to me, across the board, kept them in that game. Unfortunately, the offense didn't do what they needed to do. There was a couple bright spots. Pat Mahomes, it should have been better. You talked about Mecole Hardman. Pat Mahomes missed Mecole twice in that game. One of them was for a wide-open touchdown. He also missed the Justin Watson for a touchdown.
They're not in sync right now.
No.
And that's my whole argument. I'll be quite frank with you, Blake.
They're not.
I don't think I've ever seen Mecole Hardman and Patrick Mahomes be in sync. And actually, I went back and from Seth Kyers, we weren't able to get him on the show tonight, but I always follow his film review and what he finds out. And one of the things he did point out on that last play the Chiefs had where it was intercepted and where it was intended for Juju Smith-Schuster, Juju, after the play, is visibly upset at Mecole Hardman. And I look back and I go, well, why? Why is Mecole Hardman being pointed at, or why are they pointing at Mecole Hardman to be mad at Mecole Hardman, basically? And on this route, Juju ran a little bit of a slant over the middle.
Mecole drift.
Mecole ran a 3-yard stop route. Man, that's the best I can come up with. He ran and turned around, and it made Juju go slightly off course, which allowed Stephon Gilmore to catch up to him. And I believe on this play, it was a great bird's eye view of it. But whoever the safety was at the time, there was one high safety for Indianapolis. He drifted to the opposite side. So Juju would have had a 20 to 25 yard reception. It depends on the timing. I think there was, 7 seconds left? He could have caught it quickly, fallen forward. Not in field goal range for Matt Amendola because the 1 or 2 yard line is enough field goal range for Matt Amendola, really. So they really were going to have to try something 40 or 50 yards out. Nonetheless, it's that type of out of sync stuff that is frustrating to watch. And that is why, Blake, I think we can be a little bit upset because, number one, through 3 games, I think it's fair to criticize the play calling.
I think we've seen
some really, really questionable calls in big-time moments.
I want to preface back with that whole rant that I just went on. I'm with you. I'm not panicking, but 100% does certain things deserve criticism. So I am definitely not opposed to the criticism at all. But I just want to say for those who are like, oh, this is hopeless. How did we lose? No. You guys got to knock that off
right
now.
That's too far.
So I'm in the middle of we're all good, and they deserve criticism.
It just sometimes to me, obviously being an NFL head coach, being an NFL offensive coordinator, it's much more complicated than us sitting on the couch or at a bar and pointing out what we should do. Because guess what? We don't have any experience as coaches. However, I don't think it takes a genius to go, man, with the game on the line or needing to pick up a yard or two or 10 yards, I'm not taking the ball out of the hands of 15. And there have been multiple times this season where the ball has been taken out of the hands of 15, and you could see Mahomes being frustrated. It started at the end of the half where you had plenty of time to run two or three more plays, and Bieniemy and Reed thought, no, we're just going to run out the clock. We could have gone, maybe gotten a field goal, get a 7-point lead, and then open up the second half with 3 or 7. Now, a player is going to be competitive, and I'm not going to read too much into the altercation. It didn't look that bad. However, it shows that there's been frustration of going, man, we're not grooving, we're not flowing in rhythm, but I still want to have a chance to go down and score here. I'm not going to turn it over. I'm not going to make a boneheaded play, and I think Mahomes should be able to earn that trust because he has been a quarterback that doesn't just blindly make mistakes. But right now, it doesn't feel like there's a agreement on both sides here. It does not feel like there's a communication or strong communication between Mahomes, Reed, and Bieniemy. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. From what we can see is that Mahomes is always wanting to go for it, always wanting to stay on the field, as quarterbacks usually do. But for some reason, there's hesitancy from the coaching staff. You know, that on 4th and 10, the coaching staff thought or had more trust in a fake field goal with Tommy Townsend throwing to Noah Gray in the flat than just saying, screw it, stay out there, offense. I feel comfortable with Mahomes picking up 11, 12 yards on this play.
Yeah, that I probably, now granted, Tommy Townsend has had very good success in the past. Obviously, they call him Tommy Cannon when he's not Tommy Townsend, the flow that goes. But I probably in that situation, and this is really, had Amendola messed up at that point, he had missed the field
the
goal.
Extra point.
Yeah, he missed the extra point. Yeah, so there was already a little doubt right there. I don't know if the faking would have gone for it. I think I would have left it in the hands of Mahomes at that point because, hey, you're already on the other side of the 50. You might as well just, at that point, look at it like a punt. If you fail, cool. They got it at the 35-40.
And your defense has been playing fine.
And your defense has been playing fine all game. The only reason they even scored that 7 in the beginning of the game is because of a muff punt that ended up, you know, 7 yards away from the end zone for the Colts. Mm-hmm. Whoop-de-doo. Okay. The thing with Mahomes, and if I can play devil's advocate here, because I know you and me are usually always on the same page. So if I can play devil's advocate for once, I can see maybe why Reed and Bieniemy said, you know what, we're going to just go ahead and package this thing up for the first half. I don't want you going out there trying to make a hero play. Now, I would love to see that. But if I'm Andy Reid and Bieniemy, the past two plays that you just ran, Mahomes was nearly sacked because on that left side, it got demolished. Somebody had missed a block somewhere. Had to step up away from coverage where he could have gotten absolutely sandwiched. So he said, okay, the pass rush just got to our quarterback. Luckily, our quarterback is one of the most mobile in the league as far as behind the line and in the pocket. I would not like to see that happen again because what if he gets beat again and he can't make the same good play twice in a row? Now, I get some people might be like, well, isn't that doubt in Patrick Mahomes? It's not really doubt in Mahomes. It's more of it's doubt in your precaution for an injury because you can't win a game without 15. That's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
15 not being behind the quarterback behind your center leading that offense is going to be hard. For one more play to maybe get it into field goal range or maybe catch somebody slipping, I can see the risk versus reward ratio there and seeing why they wanted to pack it in. Again, I get why a lot of people maybe didn't think that. I also probably would have loved to see a second, you know, push for it. I also think you probably shouldn't have thrown a, or ran a run play if that's what you're going to go with. Mm-hmm. If you actually wanted to try, why are you running the ball in that situation?
I know, and that's where I always come back to on this. And you bring up a great point. It's not necessarily doubt in Mahomes. It's doubt on, I don't trust those around him right now.
Yeah.
I wish, just get in the half. Let's have the lead. We get the ball after half.
Let's regroup.
We should be fine. What I've always noticed, though, and this goes back to the Super Bowl season, this goes back to Mahomes' first year as quarterback, and maybe I'll throw that out because that offense was just virtually unstoppable. Think about the Rams Monday night game. You think about the AFC Championship game. But when this team is struggling, Blake, tell me if you agree on this. And this is the last thing we'll say. We'll jump to break real quick, come back with some music for you guys, I feel like, and get more of into rhythm of this thing. And then we'll have two guests in studio for the 8 o'clock hour. But to me, Blake, when this offense is struggling, and it struggled the way that we saw on Sunday, the play calling gets a little bit timid. And I never understood why.
Well, does that go hand in hand with the lack of chemistry that we've seen? Is it timid because there's not chemistry?
This happened last year. It happened the year before that. When this team is struggling in big moments, and when they're not just going for the throat. And we've seen it when it's a well-oiled machine. It's unstoppable, right? There's nobody stopping that offense, not even the number one ranked Bills defense. The Chiefs can put up north of 40 on that when they're flowing. When it's not flowing, there's no happy medium. There's no, this offense is really good, but at their worst, they're still giving you 25, 26 points. The first team with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback could do that. They just had a putrid defense. The last couple years, what we've seen with this, Blake, is that you see a lot of second and 10 runs. You see a lot of just safe play calls. And I think when you're blessed with talent like this, it should be, we're gunning it. We're going for it. And I think Andy Reid, very successful head coach. They've got a great coaching staff in Kansas City. It's why there's been so much success. It's why in Kansas City we've never had to witness a losing season since 2012. Over a decade now since the Chiefs' last losing season. And that's important to note here. Now, this has been noted and talked about for years with Andy Reid when it comes to play calling at times. You know, with clock management, sometimes it's being too careful, too conservative. And you have a quarterback that shouldn't be restrained, should be let loose. And that is going to happen. That could very well happen on Sunday night against Tampa Bay, whether that game's in Tampa or Minnesota at US Bank Stadium. And this offense is going to catch a groove. And you know what? We'll be more positive about this team. It'll feel much better to talk about this team. All we're simply pointing out is, if you're angry about the way things have been played out or how the offense has looked or how the offensive line has looked, special teams, hey, it's fine to be upset about those things because some are inexcusable, right? Sky Moore muffing a punt inside the five and then refusing to touch the football that got down inside the one, it's inexcusable because guess what? You won the job in training camp. Maybe it's on the coaching staff for putting faith in him. I get he's young. I get he's younger than both you and I. However, it's a big boys game now. This isn't high school football where, you know, it's a pat on the shoulder. Go get him next time. You're all right. It's fine to pump people up. But sometimes in Kansas City, I wish there'd be more of just a, you do that twice in a row. You know, one mistake, get back out there. We're not going to completely drain your confidence. But if it comes down to a point of costing this team field position, costing this team points, maybe for the rest of the game, you go to a veteran. Know that with a game on the line, instead of maybe trying to feed the ball to somebody who hasn't gotten it all game long, just let 15 cook. Let 15 do what 15 can do. Drawing up plays for Kelsey, and they had one. Travis Kelsey dropped a touchdown, and that's why, as a whole here in this game, why they lost, it was just a piss-poor performance. It was an ugly game, and those are going to happen in the NFL, and that's why, number one, you can't get too hung up on it. I felt fine on Monday after this game. Because you know what? It's week three. The AFC West has really not lived up to standards. It's been a wildly underachieving division, and you're still in first place. Totally fine, though, to be critical of what we've seen through three games. The good thing is, if you want to be positive, all sunshine and rainbows, they're 2-1. It's been ugly. They're in first place in the AFC West in a division that was supposed to be not only the best in football, maybe the best in football we've seen in the last decade or so. But Chiefs will be back in action this Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll find out here relatively soon whether this game will be played in Tampa because of the hurricane, or will be played at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL, the craziest stories and storylines we've seen through the first 3 weeks. And then right around the 8 o'clock hour, we will have two special guests in the studio and a watch party they may have for you listening while lining up on Sunday night. You're listening to The Night Shift on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are back here on The Night Shift on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside the great Blake Schneiders. Finally back up and running. Got the music, got the commercials, got everything. Now it's a well-oiled machine, as we used a couple of times in our opening segment talking Chiefs and Colts. Before we head to break real quickly here, before the 8 o'clock hour, three things we want to see going into Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Blake, number one for you.
Number one for me is going to be tightening up the special teams. I know that's the biggest thing.
I feel like that would have to be number one on the list, too. Tightening up special teams. If you need to make some adjustments here, of course, if Harrison Butker is kicking, that does change the outcome in Indianapolis. If Matthew Wright is the guy who they signed to the practice squad, former Jacksonville Jaguars kicker, just do your job as simple as it can be. Nobody's asking you to make a 40-45-yard kick. Just don't shank the extra points. Just don't miss anything inside of 40. Easier said than done. I get it. But we all know what we mean here, or what I mean.
Basically, all you got to do is tell Sky Moore, put your feet on the 10-yard line. Don't move backwards. If it goes over your head,
don't touch it.
Don't even touch it. Don't even try to.
I'm totally fine if we don't have a single punt return yard all game long. Just catch the ball.
Yeah.
Catch the damn ball. Number two on my list, it's going to be being more open with the play calling. Don't be afraid to take shots. It's going to be a very good Tampa Bay defense. You will not be able to score points on this defense if you're timid. So that's my number two here. Blake, your number two.
My number two is going to be continue that pressure from the D-line. They had 5 sacks last week. The Chiefs look fantastic. Whatever Spags was doing worked perfectly. I want to continue to see the Chiefs' defensive line be aggressive.
And number three for me kind of ties into that with the Chiefs' defensive pressure. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now are one of the teams in the NFL who have not scored a first-half touchdown. It has been very ugly for this offense. Tom Brady is finally showing his age. That offensive line is banged up. But here's where you have to capitalize on it. If you bring pressure, if you can defend well in man-to-man, because Tom Brady has been struggling when facing a man-to-man defense this year, if you can handle all that, what it comes down to is not committing the bonehead penalties. Getting the holding call when you're 20, 30 yards away from the play. Not taunting. Not getting the dumb personal fouls, the unsportsmanlike penalties. Got to tighten that up. Got to button that up. Because if you just play a clean game defensively, all this offense will have to do is put up 21 or 24 points. That's very manageable to me. So it really comes down to me for playing Tampa Bay. Tightening things up, things you can control, not having special teams blunders, not committing boneheaded penalties, and number three, just opening up the play calling. All things you can control, and I think you get out of Tampa with the win. And Blake, lastly for you, your third option.
Last one for me for the third option. I need that number five, that 5 people across that offensive line to be cohesive. I need better chemistry, and I want to see y'all come out with a mentality of just absolute junkyard dogs. And this upcoming game, if the offensive line cannot push the defensive line, who is a good D-line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they're going to be out of their element. There's a lot of things going on that we're going to talk about later, obviously, with the hurricane and everything and the switching of locations. I need that offensive line to look cohesive and look aggressive. That's the worst game I've seen them play in quite a while. You got to get that back together.
And Shaq Barrett of Tampa Bay had some choice words for the Chiefs offensive line, saying it's going to be a coming out party for the Tampa Bay defense. So a little bit of a chip on the shoulder for this Chiefs offensive line. We'll see if they can capitalize off it. All right, that wraps up our first hour of the show here on The Night Shift. When we come back, we'll have Dustin Slentz and Jake Redpath of the Kansas City Comedy Club and telling you about their Chiefs watch party, Chiefs and Chatter. We'll have them on here next on The Night Shift on Sports Radio 810 WHB.